power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. He was not ashamed. And he was writing to Romans. And you might be asking yourself, why is he telling them? Why is he feeling the need to relay this information that he is not ashamed? Well, if he's writing to a Roman, it would have been really shameful, really embarrassing to say that you were following a certain man who suffered a death punishment that when the Romans weren't even allowed to, it is the most deplorable, the worst thing that you could suffer. And to think that your Savior, your Lord, your God, is somebody who was beaten and scourged, naked, completely stripped naked, and hung up on a cross, that would have been shameful, especially if you were a Roman and if you would have professed that. And if you were a Jew, apparently, you know, if he was writing to them, to the Jew first and also the Greek, it would have been really sad, at least in others' eyes, to say that you were following Christ, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the one who said, if a Roman asks you to walk 1 mile with him, you walk two. I'm under their occupation. And you're telling me that I'm supposed to be following that man who did not fulfill what I wanted him to be? And so Paul writes to the Romans and he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. So this morning, let's talk about that. Turn your Bibles with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, please. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. It is my fear, unfortunately, that many modern day Christians have the sort of embarrassment and feel a sense of shame to be a Christian. And maybe some of you in the audience this morning have felt that. And so in 1 Peter chapter 1, look what it says here in 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 22, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, though the word of God which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. It is, and I mentioned this in the lesson 2 weeks ago, the most countercultural thing in the world right now, and especially in American society, to be a true Christian. The word of God, the one that we have right in front of us right now, is literally the most archaic, literally the most out-of-date thing, obsolete in so many people's minds. It is not with the times. It is not with modern psychology, philosophy, and sciences. It is not on par with those things. It is the most countercultural thing to be looking at right now. But look what he says. It says, verse 24, all flesh is as grass. All the glory of man is flower of the grass, and the grass withers and the flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. That gospel is permanent forever. Do you understand that? A lot of people look at Christians, those who really try to follow the word of God, and they look at them, you're a Puritan. You are this person who is stuck in the dark ages. This is somebody who can't get out of, you know, their roots or whatever it is. But in quite honestly, Christianity goes way further back than that. They're not even accurate in saying that. It's not even a first century thing. It has been an eternal thing that God has been planning for us. Look at just a few other verses. You want to go with me to Galatians chapter 1. Very familiar verse here. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, please. Along with the gospel being something that is eternal, something that has always been, always will be, it is also something that you just can't change. You cannot alter it to fit your conveniences. Look what it says in Galatians chapter 1, very familiar verse here, starting in verse 6. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel of God preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you other than what you have received, let him be accursed. The gospel is not only eternal, but it's something that you can't change. It is not meant to be altered. It has been perfected. And I'm not saying this to call out anyone who abides by this faith. And it's not to make anyone feel dumb or hurt. But it's always been really interesting to me whenever the Catholics decide to anoint a new pope and appoint a new one in order and power, that the pundits and the analysts will always talk about how the new pope will sort of switch the religion around, the Catholic doctrine around. Maybe it's, and the most recent ones had to do with, you know, giving nuns some more power or doing something so the priest can marry or abortion or homosexuality, giving some leniency to those things. That's not how the gospel works. The gospel is not allowed to fit our convenience. Verse 10, Paul will say, are we here to persuade men or are we here for God? The gospel is eternal. It is unchangeable. And it is countercultural to our society. And I have to say that I am not ashamed to have that gospel. And brethren, I hope that you are not ashamed to stand up for the same gospel. Another thing that I think we should not be ashamed of, turn your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians, please. 2 Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians chapter 2. Read with me there what it says in verse 13. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. It reads, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for obtaining the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul here is talking. He's saying, I was sent to you and I gave you a gospel. One thing, brethren, I don't want you to be ashamed of, none of us should ever be ashamed of, is the messengers that were sent by God to deliver the gospel that we now try to follow. I am afraid that so many Christians are ashamed of the way we do things. Ashamed of the order of service, the way we sing, the way we take the Lord's Supper every week, the way we contribute. And it is so different that sometimes we may feel embarrassed to even talk about it with other people who say they have a like-minded faith. But Paul here said, look what he said, verse 14, to which you were called by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Along with that, go with me to 1 Thessalonians. Turn back a little bit to the first letter that was written to them. 1 Thessalonians. Look what it says in chapter 2, verse 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. But as we have been approved by God, talking about Paul himself being an apostle, we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing to men, but God who tests our hearts. The things that Paul and the other apostles left behind for us, those apostolic traditions, the way that we meet on the first day of the week, the reason that we sing in a cappella style, there is reason that we do those things. Paul and the other apostles were sent by God so that they could leave that gospel for us. Do not be ashamed of it. You should not be ashamed of it. I'm going to fit two verses here, two different passages together, and hopefully we can come to a good understanding of what I'm trying to say. First, go with me to Romans chapter 16, please. Romans 16. Per usual, when I speak, we turn quite a bit, and we'll be doing it this morning. So, Romans chapter 16, please. Romans chapter 16. Look what it says, verse 25. Concerning this gospel, look what it says. Romans chapter 16, verse 25. We already established earlier in the lesson, Paul is writing this letter. This is what he has to say at the end of it. Romans 16, 25. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel. Notice what Paul's saying. Establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest and by prophetic scriptures made known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience to faith. Two things I want you to take from those two passages right there. Paul says, I am preaching this gospel that was given to me, as he said in Thessalonians. He said, this gospel that was given to me by Christ, I am now preaching to you. It is also my gospel. But then also, take notice what he said, verse 25. According to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the beginning of the world. There was a time when the gospel was not so clear like it is now. But in verse 26, it is now made clear to everyone. It can be understood. I'm going to make a point in just a second, but go with me to Ephesians chapter 3, please. Ephesians chapter 3. So there was a time when the gospel was not revealed like it is now, but now it is. And look what Paul has to say about that in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3. Look what it says, verse 3 through 5. How that by the revelation made known to me the mystery. Remember he said that in Romans, as I have briefly written already, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. Do you understand what he said there? The word, the gospel that is being preached not only by the story of Jesus Christ, but also by Paul and the other apostles, is able to be understood. It's able to be understood. The reason I say all of that is because sometimes I find Christians who think that the scriptures are insufficient for teaching, for our beliefs, in a place where we can stand. People are ashamed and embarrassed of what the gospel says. I will say this so many times just because it's so noticeable and it comes out at me, but on social media, I see people who are Christians, who know better, who, when trying to teach someone else, refer to theologians, refer to modern-day writers to try to teach someone rather than what is written in the gospel. You know, Chan is not Paul, is not Peter. When it comes to teaching and when it comes to something that can be understood, the gospel can be understood. And I am not ashamed of that, however old it may be or what is written in there. And Paul said he was not ashamed of it. And so when we talk about these things, go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2, please. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. We'll begin reading there in just a moment, 1 Timothy chapter 1. Aside from the gospel being as old as it is still as true as it has ever been. And we believe in that. We also believe in the messengers that brought it to us and the traditions that they set and how we should follow those things. One thing I also hope that we are not ashamed of is the standard that the Word of God puts out there, the gospel that it's put out there. I've told y'all already, it is countercultural. It is not what people are in society are accepting nowadays. You know, we are privileged to live in a country where people are clamoring for abortion in the third trimester. Do you notice the sarcasm in my voice? We are also privileged to live in a country that openly celebrates homosexuality and transgenderism on things like public TV, on the Macy's Day Parade, and it is just so openly celebrated. And I know many of you are patriots so much more than I. I am not here to badmouth the king. I believe that is sinful. But sometimes it's hard to root for someone who is not following God's word as a Christian. And we have to understand that God in his holy word puts out a certain standard of morality that we have to follow and that we understand. Look what it says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 8. It says, but we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person, not for a righteous person, but for the lawless and insubordinate, for the ungodly and for the sinners, for the unholy, for the profane, for the murderers of fathers and the murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, for sodomites, which is the action of homosexuality, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers, and if there is any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. I am not ashamed of what the gospel preaches. However, people who practice those things, people who are practicing homosexuals, people who are pedophiles, should be ashamed of their sin. That's what the gospel preaches. And it is so hard to be open about that. It is so hard to be open of our beliefs. But Paul said he was not ashamed of the gospel. And brethren, you should not be either. There are many things to consider. If you'd like to go with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. We're sort of already wrapping up the lesson here. 1 Peter chapter 4. Read with me what it says, verse 15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, as an evildoer, but as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. If you choose to live to the certain morality that the Bible, the Holy Word of God, puts out there, you will suffer for it. People will look at you and they'll say to you, because you uphold those standards, you should be the one wearing the paper bag. Not us. You're the ones who should be ashamed for believing in something so archaic and obsolete. When Jesus told us, you know, to take up our cross and follow Him, I think it's very interesting what He said there. He did not tell us to pick up our mattress, our pillow, our bed and follow Him. No, He told us to pick up our cross, an instrument of suffering and death, because that's what we suffer as Christians. That is what the type of lifestyle we live, and we should not be ashamed of it. We're not ashamed of the gospel. And lastly, you should not be ashamed of the one you call your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Starting in verse 1, reads, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also received in which you stand, by which you also are saved if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures." I am not ashamed to uphold a man who is wearing a crown of thorns, a man who was beaten, and a man who I believe rose on the third day. That is what the gospel preaches. And someday in the future, we'll talk about some evidence that go along with that. But brethren, for right now, I ask that you not be ashamed either. There are many people who will try to deter you, who will tell you to put on a paper bag. As a last verse, go with me to 1 John chapter 2, please. 1 John chapter 2. I thought about this, and like I told you already, that if I was thinking to myself, what would I want to tell the church in Hueytown if I were leaving? And I would want to tell you exactly what I've just been saying. That the gospel needs to be upheld. That you don't need to feel shame or embarrassment for what you believe and how you live. We are called to live at a certain standard, and we ought to live that way. But I am afraid that we do not. I'm afraid that there are times where our embarrassment and our shame gets the best of us. And it should not. And let me tell you right now, if you're ashamed to wear the gospel on your sleeve, then you're going to be ashamed on the day of judgment. Look what it says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you have not lived your life where you are openly, outwardly preaching the gospel, living the gospel, but hide in sheep, in a very sheepish manner, you should be ashamed. And I ask you to make the corrections this morning. If this morning you've heard the gospel and you are not ashamed of the Christ that is preached about in Scripture time and time again, how he loved us and died for us and is ultimately saving us from our sins, if you are not ashamed of that, we ask that you come forward and be baptized. And if you are a Christian and reflecting on your own life, realizing that there are changes that need to be made, let us pray for you, let us pray with you. However we can help you, please let us know as we stand and sing a song that has been prepared.